Now, returning back to the book of Galatians, you know we're going through this book verse by verse, but I've decided to take a little interlude here concerning one phrase that we find in verse 16. The last time I just read through these last verses of chapter 2 and commented on them so that we might understand the context. But the title of this message is Justified by Faith of Jesus Christ. This is the second part of that. That phrase comes from verse 16. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes. And he's talking about, you remember, he's talking about his episode in Antioch where he had to withstand Peter to the face publicly. In defense of the gospel of God's grace and the fact that sinners are saved by God, not based upon anything in, of, or through us, but totally based upon the blood of Christ, his righteousness alone, his righteousness imputed, which is our ground of salvation. And we cannot do anything or say anything that'll bring that into question. And so he's reminding them of this, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. In other words, a man is not made right with God. That's what justified means. That's what righteousness means. It means to be made right with God. Things are right with God. And that means to be not guilty. It means to be not charged with our sins. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, whose sins are covered. It means to be declared righteous before God. That's what justified means. If you're justified, you are, in reality, by God's declaration, by God's judgment, righteous in his sight. And Paul's saying, now this is this whole episode here, and this, the problem that exists in the churches of Galatia is a testimony of something that we who are saved by the grace of God already know. We know, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. There's no act of obedience that a sinner can perform that will remove sin. There's no act of obedience that a sinner can do that will make him righteous before God. So how is a sinner made righteous? How are things made right between God and sinners? Well, he says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, I stress here the word of. Look, it says, by the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's what the subject of this little interlude away from. We're not going away from because this is the subject of Galatians. But I'm going to talk a lot about it, and it may be another message before we continue on through the book of Galatians. We talk about faith in Jesus Christ because the Bible says that those who believe in Jesus Christ are saved. But what Paul's saying here is that we're justified not by our faith in Jesus Christ, but by the faith of, or the faithfulness of, Jesus Christ. And that's important. That's an important distinction. And the way we know that that's important, look here, he says, by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. So now he talks about believing in Jesus Christ. So think about it this way, and I don't want you to be confused on this. Because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, that's his faithfulness to do what he promised to do. He was faithful. And I'm going to show you several scriptures in this message, and I'm sure I won't get to the end of it in this one message, but I'm going to show you several scriptures that prove that. Christ himself was faithful to do what he promised to do. Now, before the foundation of the world, there was a covenant made between the Father and the Son and the Spirit, wherein God the Father chose a people and gave them to his Son, and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, agreed and promised to do for his people what we could not do for ourselves. It's kind of like if you look at the book of Philemon. You remember in Philemon, where there was a runaway slave. His name was Onesimus. And he had stolen from his master. And then he, by the providence of God, ended up in Rome with Paul. And Paul preached the gospel to this man. And the man was converted by the grace of God. Onesimus became a brother in Christ. This scoundrel, this runaway, became a brother in Christ. And so Paul wrote a letter to Philemon, his master, interceding on his behalf. And you remember Paul made this statement in the book of Philemon. He said, if he hath wronged thee, put it on my account. I will repay it. Well, what was Paul doing there? He was making a promise to do for this Onesimus what Onesimus couldn't do for himself. He said, put it on my account, I'll repay it. I promise to do that. Now, was Paul faithful to that promise? Well, we don't know it. We don't know. There's nothing in the Bible that speaks of anything after that in that little segment of history. But we assume Paul was faithful to do that. And that's a type of Christ. Before the foundation of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ said, put their debt on my account, their sin debt on my account, I'll repay it. That's why he became our surety. And so he's the surety of the promise. Now, was he faithful to do what he promised to do for his people? And the answer is yes. And that's what Paul means by this, that we're justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. His faithfulness to do for us what he promised to do. Is that clear? I want to make sure. Now, when we see the reality and the glory of true salvation as it's set forth in the Word of God, we see how important it is that we have all things in their proper order, all things in their right perspective. Now, why is that important? Well, because in salvation, according to the Bible, Christ must have the preeminence. All glory goes to Christ, and no glory goes to us. That no flesh should glory in his presence, the scripture says. So all glory goes to Christ. And he must have all the preeminence and glory, and we must have none. God gets all the glory. We who are saved get all the benefits and all the blessings of salvation. And so with that in mind, consider these three things. Now let me read the rest of the verse first. He says in verse 16 now, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. We believe in him. We believe in who he is. We believe in what he accomplished by his faithfulness to do what he said, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Now there's that term again. You see it? We're made right with God, not by our faithfulness, but by his faithfulness. His work, his efforts, his fulfillment of promises. If salvation were conditioned on us fulfilling our promises, we'd be lost forever. And if you don't believe that, I'll tell you why. It's because you're full of self-righteousness. That may sound harsh, but that's the way it is. That's what the scripture teaches. You say, well, I'm going to make my promises and I'm going to fulfill them. I'll guarantee you you'll mess up because I know. I've been there. I mess up every day. That's why salvation is not conditioned on our faith in him. Our salvation is conditioned on his faith to do what he promised. Now, must we believe on him? Well, hold on now. All right. He says, we're justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now consider these three things. Number one, there's no doubt that in order for us to be saved, we must do two things. We must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth not shall be what? Damned. No one is going to be saved without believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in him, you're lost. If you don't believe in him, to die in unbelief is to die in a condemned state. Isn't that what the scripture says? Secondly, we must remain faithful to him unto the end. We must believe in him and we must remain faithful to him unto the end. It's impossible to be saved without faith in Christ, believing in Christ, and it's impossible to be saved without remaining faithful to Christ. Those who claim to believe him in him and fall away are lost. They don't lose their salvation, the scripture teaches us. But the Bible says this, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We must be faithful to him. And those who profess to believe but fall away from Christ never really believed it. The scripture teaches that. Because all whom God brings to faith in Christ shall, by God's grace, endure to the end. That's called perseverance of the saints. And we know that faith is not in us naturally. Man by nature is not a believer. Man by nature is an unbeliever. Now that doesn't mean he's not religious. He'll be religious. He'll seek a God, but it's not the God of the Bible. So perseverance and faithfulness, believing as God's true children, is required. It's necessary for us to have eternal life and enter final glory in Christ. That's number one. Now here's the second thing. It's also true, as I said, that no man or woman by nature has faith to believe, and none of us by nature, of our own will and our own power, will remain faithful to Christ. Even as believers, if God were to remove his hand of sovereign power and grace from us, we'd fall away. In other words, if God doesn't keep us, we're not going to be kept. That's why Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to what? Keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He is able, Christ is able, to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. So we know that the Bible teaches us that none of us by nature have faith to believe. None of us by nature will persevere, that's all the work of God. For by grace are you saved, through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God gives us faith to believe in him. God preserves us by his grace. He keeps us so that we who truly believe in him cannot fall unto damnation. And so we persevere in the faith because he preserves us. And it's not the other way around. That's the second thing. Number three. Therefore, faith in Christ and faithfulness to Christ is not the ground or cause of our salvation or our justification before God. God does not save us on the basis of our believing in Christ. He will not save us without our believing in Christ, but that's not the ground. And also, our faithfulness to Christ is not the ground of our salvation, our justification, or even our glorification. God saves us, he justifies us, he glorifies us, but not on the ground of anything done by us or in us or through us. It's all based upon one thing, what Christ has done for us. And we have to keep that clear. So when he speaks about justified here in Galatians 2. Think about it. You know, that word justified is an interesting word, to be just before God. To be justified before God. As I said, it means to be not guilty. That's the what you might say, the negative part of it. I'm not guilty. I'm a sinner. If God were to ever give me what I deserve or what I've earned, it would be eternal damnation. But I'm not guilty in the eyes of God's law and justice. Now, how can that be? Well, it's because someone took my guilt and said, put it on my account. Just like Paul said to Philemon, put it on my account, I'll repay it. That's what Christ did for me. It's what he did for his people. If you're one of his people, that's what Christ did for you. Put it on my account, he said. But the positive is to be righteous. When it says justified, it means to be righteous before God. And he's pointing them back to the ground of salvation. Here's the first thing you need to understand. Righteousness, to be justified now, you can interchange those terms. To be made righteous and to be justified before God. Righteousness imputed. As Christ said, put his sins on my account, he also said, put my righteousness on his account. And that's the ground of salvation. That's the ground of our justification before God. Righteousness imputed is the ground of our justification before God. How can a sinner be justified with God? Now, what we're talking about here, what Paul's dealing with, and the reason he felt necessary to withstand Peter to the face is because it's like this. We're talking about the very heart of the gospel. If you don't get this right, or if you bring this into question or deny this, you're cutting the very heart out of the gospel. You know, the reformers. We talk about the reformers. We're talking usually about men like John Huss and John Calvin, Martin Luther, people like that. They commonly spoke of justification by faith. You'll hear that term all the time. As opposed to justification by works. Speaking of a sinner's justification before God. Now, how God judges a sinner not guilty and righteous in his sight. And when we talk about being justified by faith, that is a biblical term. Look back at Romans chapter 3 with me. Look over at verse 28. It says here in Romans 3:28, it says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So justified by faith. The problem is that people have confused this, even perverted it to make justification before God on the basis of our believing. That's not what Romans 3:28 says. That's not what it's about. I've even heard preachers say this. They say, the moment we believe in Christ, God counts us righteous. That's not so. We're counted righteous in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's what the scripture says. If you're in Christ, if you're a sinner saved by grace, when was Christ made your surety? Before the foundation of the world. So this doesn't mean that the moment we believe, God is waiting for us to believe, in other words, before he can count us righteous. Now, a lot of people will say, well, in our conscience, and that's true. Man has a guilty conscience by nature. That's one of the products of the fallen Adam, a guilty conscience. That's why man is religious. Cain had a guilty conscience, or he would have never brought his offering to God. But he knew something was wrong, and he had to do, in his mind, he says, I know there's something wrong. I know I'm a sinner, and I've got to do something to make it right with God. So what did he do? He brought the works of his hands. Well, that's the wrong way. That's being justified by works. So we have a guilty conscience by nature, and we'll do all kinds of things to soothe the guilty conscience. Get religion, deny it, just ignore it. Or go crazy or whatever, you know. But man has a guilty conscience. Well, the moment we believe in Jesus Christ, we could say we're justified in our conscience. Because now I know that my sins were charged to him and his righteousness is imputed to me. And that soothes the guilty conscience, isn't that right? But it's not on the it's not because I believed in him. You say, righteousness, justification before God is not the product of our believing in him. It's just the opposite. Our believing in him is the product of what he did. His righteousness imputed. Our believing in Christ is the product of our justification based on Christ's righteousness imputed. Now, why is that so important? Again, because Christ must have the preeminence. Not you, not me. We can glory only in him. We're to glory in Christ, not in our faith. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:17, he said, if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You're yet in your sins. You see, without Christ doing his work, faith is nothing. And the Bible's clear, we're not justified on the ground or basis of our believing. We're justified before God on the ground or basis of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed to us. And that's what Romans 3 is teaching. Look back up in verse 25. Well, let's go on. Go back up to verse 23. Romans 3:23. He says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now that means we missed the mark. Coming short there. The most common word that's used for sin in the New Testament is a word that means we fall short. We miss the mark. And the mark there is the glory of God. Well, now, where is the glory of God seen? In Christ. So what is the mark that we miss? Well, we miss the mark of righteousness, perfection. So in other words, at our best, we miss the mark. Now, that gives you a definition of sin in the Bible that most people don't want to face. In other words, it's like I told somebody a while ago, that a lot of people in Europe and in Australia and places like that, salvation to them is when a person comes from the pub to the pew. But see, you can come from the pub to the pew and still miss the mark. You understand what I'm saying? Now, coming from the pub to the pew doesn't make a sinner righteous. Now, nothing wrong with a sinner coming from the pub to the pew if the pew he's sitting in is under the gospel. Don't get me wrong. But that's not what makes us righteous before God. And so we miss the mark. And so what that does for us by revelation of the Holy Spirit is it gives us a context for sin. That sin is not just the dregs of society who wallow in abject immorality. Now, is that sin? Yes. There's no argument there. We're not saying that drunkenness is not a sin, that drug pushing is not a sin. Yes, those are sins. Those are great sins. But the context of the scripture puts sin in this vein, that even the best of people and the best of situations, we still fall short. Religion will not make you righteous before God. That's what the issue of Galatians is. Here come the Jews, and they say, now, yes, we must believe in Christ, but you've got to be circumcised. You've got to keep the law of Moses. They're not promoting drunkenness and drug abuse and the immorality. They're promoting their religion. But the point is that it still comes short. Anything that comes short, you cannot be justified before God based on anything that comes short of the mark. So look back at Romans 3:23. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he says in verse 24, being justified freely. That word freely means without a cause. And it's by his grace. Through what? The redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now the redemption that is in Christ Jesus is another way of describing the faith of Christ. The faithfulness of Christ. He was faithful to redeem us. He promised before the foundation of the world to redeem us. To pay the price, to pay the debt, to establish righteousness, to put away sin. He promised to do all that. So that's his faithfulness. Was he faithful to do it? Yes. And so we're justified freely, unconditionally, by God's grace, based on what? The redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then look at verse 25. He says, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood. Our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in what? His blood. There was a lady over in Australia who'd been listening to messages of mine for several years. And she said that at first, and she wrote me an email about this several years ago. And I sent her some information on it. She said, well, I hear you talking about the righteousness of Christ, but not the blood of Christ. And what she needed to understand is those are the same things. You see, when you talk about the righteousness of Christ, you're talking about his blood. How do you know? Look at it, verse 25. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare what? his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. What did it take for Jesus Christ to attain righteousness for his people? He had to die. He had to be obedient unto death. He had to shed his precious blood. His blood and now a lot of times we'll say we're saved based on his blood and righteousness, but in reality that's the same thing. That's what it took. He had to be faithful to shed his blood unto death in order to work out righteousness for his people. Look at verse 26. And he says there in verse 25, for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. What that means is this: when Christ died on the cross, he died not only for the sins of New Testament saints, but also for the Old Testament sins that are past. In verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness. You see, his death on the cross, his redemptive work, is a declaration of his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So there you have a distinction between the work that Christ did and our believing in him. And he says in verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Verse 27. It's excluded. We don't have any room to glory. That word boast is to glory. By what law of works? What principle is it that removes all grounds of boasting in us? Is it works? No, because if it works, we'd have ground for boasting. Nay, but by the law of faith. Now, what is the law of faith? It's the gospel of salvation. A salvation secured and acquired and applied by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ to do what he said he would do. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, what is it to be justified by faith? It's to be justified by what Christ accomplished on Calvary's cross to put away our sins. And it's so, you know, it's so important for us today. And the reason is because, you know, the most popular, prevailing false gospel of today teaches men that it's their faith, their believing, that makes the difference between saved and lost, not what Christ did. That's the most popular false gospel today reduces the death of Christ, his blood, his righteousness, to nothing more than a mere possibility of salvation if sinners will do their part in believing. And that makes salvation conditioned not on the faithfulness of Christ, but faith in him. And we by nature don't have that. And that's why this has to be brought out. That's why it had to be brought out in Peter's day, in Paul and Peter's day. That's why it was so important. That's why Paul said, I can't leave this alone. Look back at Galatians 2 and I'll conclude. Paul said, back up there, in verse 11, he said, When Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. And then he tells what happened. Here's Peter. He's eating with uncircumcised Gentiles, but believing Gentiles. Uncircumcised physically, but circumcised in heart and ears. Believers. And when Peter sat down to eat with such people, that was a statement to the Jews. You're counting them equal to you in the sight of God. That's what that ritual meant. Now that's, you know, a lot of that has to do with traditions of men and all that, and I'm not going to go into all that history because we don't have time. But it's kind of like, you know, when you go back in all the way back to Exodus, and you don't have to turn there. When God brought forth the law down out of Sinai, there was a clear separation there between God and sinners. You remember he said, don't come near that mount, don't touch it. He said, even if a sheep or a goat comes near, thrust him through with a spear. You cannot approach unto God. There's another passage where God invites Moses to come up and sit with him. and sup with him. And that's an emblem of fellowship with God. In other words, you're on an equal plane with each other in Christ. That's what he's saying there. You're not on an equal plane with God, no, because God is God. But you have communion with God. You have fellowship with God. You have acceptance from God. And of course, all that's based upon what God pictured in the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ came into the world and he sat down and ate with publicans and sinners, the Jews were appalled. So here's Peter sitting down with Gentiles, eating. And these fellows came from the church of Jerusalem, claiming to be saved, claiming to be Christian, and Peter got up and moved tables, implying that, no, we're not on an equal plane here. Those are Gentiles. I'm a Jew. I'm better. I'm more righteous. I'm holier. And I don't want to be seen with such company. And Paul said here in verse 14, when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. You see, that's not the truth of the gospel. That kind of behavior is not the truth of the gospel. The kind of behavior that's the truth of the gospel says, look, if you're in Christ, you're as equally saved as I am. You're as equally righteous as I am. You're as equally justified, not guilty, forgiven as I am. Because it's none of us based upon anything in us, of us, from us, through us, or by us. It's all based upon what Christ alone did for us. All right.